Okay. All right. Listen, we got plenty of stuff on tap. I'm going to talk to this next section here. Democracy is messy, and yes, it is. You know, you look for all this stuff to finally be over tomorrow, right? Will it? I don't know. I mean, you know, we've had some messiness in recent years. I say recent years. Remember Bush Gore, year 2000? Bush Gore election, messy. It was pins and needles. It was a couple of weeks. It was one county that, you know, in South Florida that it got down to just literally hundreds of votes decided the entire nation's electoral college. So every vote does count. Messy. You've had legal challenges. You've had some states, some localities, some down ballot races where, you know, the legal challenges made the difference. Or you've had legal challenges where accusations were thrown and then they were proven to be false. You had in the wake of everything that happened with the last 2020 election, you had the January 6th uprising. It was not an insurrection. I will not call it that. It was not an insurrection. Please don't try that with me. But the reality is this. You've got any number of things that are happening on the ballot that people are emotionally tied to. Democracy is messy. You know what's not messy? Not having a say. It's very clean. You get up and you go try to grudge out another day of existence under a tyrant or under a monarch who gives you no choices in your governance. Democracy is messy. It is freaking messy. It is always messy, and it always will be messy. Why? Because people are allowed to have differing opinions. You don't get a true democracy unless you have a differing of opinions and a acting out of those differing of opinions. You have candidates that oppose each other. And then you have supporters of those candidates who oppose each other. And then you have go to the polls and you get the results and you look to see what the opposing of each other really means in the end. And then the question becomes, what happens after? So I've got a number of stories here right now questioning whether or not there will be civil unrest in the wake of this week's elections. I'm curious what y'all think. The reality, though, is I believe that there will be pockets of, I believe, so let's go with it. Trump wins. I believe that parts of Portland will burn. I believe that there will be some problems in some sectors of places like Chicago. I believe that there will also be, though, I mean, watch it. We're seeing a shifting of what I would call the traditional Democrat vote centers. Not entirely, but some. I think there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I think there'll be Democrats crying. I think there'll be wailing. There will be people needing triggers and trigger, you know, warnings and cry rooms. I think all that will happen. But I do believe there will be pockets of civil unrest. I think there will be Antifa and you know, that kind of thing, just having a complete meltdown. Here's what I'm most concerned about. There's a period of time between the election and the actual inauguration. Now, Trump will have, you know, Secret Service protection. He does now. He's also had two assassination attempts already. One of my real concerns is the possibility of harm being done to he or his family. That's a serious concern that I think we should all be praying about. So what's going to happen in the days to come? Well, there are progressives around the country right now holding online meetings and, you know, preparing for how we're going to push back. And like there's an article here that I've got from the Populist Times. Says there's a group of progressives across the country that are holding physical and online meetings, taking other initiatives. On a recent evening, says one, more than 200 people joined a Zoom meeting titled Mass Training for Women's Safety Teams, hosted by the Women's March Veterans because of escalating political violence. Okay, 200 people on a Zoom call is not what I would call civil unrest. I can live with that. But they're claiming that they plan to attend women's marches in Washington, D.C. Those are just weird. By the way, you know, wearing body parts on your head is just weird. There's going to be claims of the alt-right showing up. And keep your eyes open, by the way, for the bait and switch. You know, when the feds show up wearing khakis and carrying tiki torches, just understand, don't even get involved. Just watch from a distance, take a few pictures, post on your social media, and go back to the house. But do I believe there will be problems? In some places, I believe there will. Let us not be part of the problems. More on this when we get back. I want your opinions, too. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, I do mean it when I say it, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, I'm finishing this finishing the day, actually. We're about in go-home mode right now. Just a reminder, tomorrow night, Right Side Media, which is the parent company of who we are. Right Side Radio is what you're listening to right now, but that is one of the presentations of Right Side Media. We have multiple podcasts up. We have written word that goes out. We do all kinds of stuff with social media. But Right Side Media, we just finished building out our brand spanking new podcast studio. And tomorrow night, we're doing a live stream from the studio, 7:30 to 9:30. We have scheduled call-ins from U.S. Senator Katie Britt from D.C., John Wall from the State Republican Party from Mar-a-Lago, and our own Attorney General calling in from Montgomery. So we're looking for a good night. So join us. You can go to rightsidemedia.org. That's our website, rightsidemedia.org, and watch the live stream from 7:30 to 9:30. It's going to be me, JP, Butters, and Birdman in the studio with some special guests on the phone. So check it out, and we'll be talking through the results and just, hopefully having a good night. All right, democracy's messy. I said that before the break. Yeah, let me just encourage all of you. Don't be a part of the problem. You don't have to respond to outbreaks of raucousness, and you don't have to create outbreaks of raucousness. We will win in some places. I hope we win in most places tomorrow. And there will be some Senate and House races where we look at it and go, wow, sucks. Do not be a part of the problem. And by the way, remember, they have spent the last 4 years vilifying anybody who voted for Trump as being a Jan Sixer. Remember that? They took what shouldn't have happened, by the way. January 6th should not have happened. There should not have been a canvassing upon the grounds of the Capitol and storming through the doors. There shouldn't have been. The vast majority of those people walked through the halls peacefully. And there are hundreds who've had their due process rights curtailed. They've had their due process rights and their rights to a fair and speedy adjudication of their issues just denied them. And they are in jail, had their whole lives changed because of it. Do not be that guy or girl. Don't do it. That being said, you don't have to be quiet. Say what you want to on social media. Speak out to your friends. Tell them when you're at Sunday school and they're talking big about something and you don't agree. Talk about it by the water cooler, but do not get involved in the crap. That's what I'm saying. Don't do it. That being said, what are the most contentious U.S. presidential elections we've had? Well, in the year 1800, we apparently had a doozy. Thomas Jefferson. Aaron Burr, Thomas Jefferson and his chosen VP, Aaron Burr, they tied for first place. So John Adams, a member of the rival Federalist Party, only had 65 votes to their 73 and 73. I mean, it was about as tight as it can get. And there was a lot of raucousness, if you will. A lot of people mad. So 1800, they had one. The country was pretty young. 1824, the Federalist Party had dissolved. We were down to pretty much two parties. Andrew Jackson, Old Hickory, hero of the War of 1812. He won the popular vote, captured 99 electoral votes. Didn't have a lot of states back then. Keep that in mind. Secretary of State John Quincy Adams took 84 electoral votes. And as no candidate earned a majority of electoral votes, the election went to the House of Representatives and they had to do some backroom negotiations. I mean, it got raucous. It got ugly. It got people mad. But they finally wound up with, I'm looking at it right now, reading this stuff and going, wow. Let's just say that there was near to a duel, if you know what I'm saying. 1860. Well, that was a rough time. Civil War upon us. tore the nation apart. Abraham Lincoln was a chosen nominee of the new, brand new Republican Party, the fledgling Republican Party. Steadfast opponent of slavery. It was a very divisive time. You know what happened in the years thereafter. 1876, the article I'm looking at right now from history.com says that one was a doozy. Democrat Governor Samuel Tilden of New York got 250,000 more ballots in the popular vote than his Republican opponent, Rutherford B. Hayes, but Hayes had 19 more electoral votes. So it was like massive. And there were claims of voter fraud. And there were claims of, you know, problems, and there was raucousness. 1912, Teddy Roosevelt jumped back into politics, ran on his Bull Moose Party, tried to be a third-party candidate. What he wound up being was a spoiler, and it caused the Republican vote to split between he and Taft, which ushered in Woodrow Wilson, a Democrat who, you know, led to all kinds of socialist policies. 1948, Harry S. Truman's on the way out. We're looking at all kinds of challengers. You had the whole thing with Thomas Dewey was a strong candidate, and you had them predicting Dewey who didn't win. But the most contentious ones we've had in modern history, I already mentioned the year 2000, Bush-Gore. 2016, of course, we had Trump beating Hillary and the wailing and gnashing of teeth by the Hillaryites. And then we had 2020, the George Floyd riots, COVID, all of it. It's massive. I'm praying that tomorrow we have a vote that is complete, a vote that is unquestionable, a vote that is full and in place within a short amount of time, and a vote that also ushers in a restoration for our country. And I believe that can only happen, in my opinion, by the red vote. I've got a call from someone from Huntsville we never had before. Name is it Revon? Is that right?
Revon
from Huntsville. How you doing?
Revon, man, how you doing?
I'm good. What's going on?
Well, I got two things for you. My first thing is I don't know if you seen. I just got off work, so you might have talked about it or not. But Nancy Pelosi coming out today talking about Trump's mental acuity.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that we all need to remember is Nancy Pelosi can spring chicken herself. Maybe her mental acuity needs to be checked.
I would say there's a lot of things about her that need to be checked. I don't think she's even real anymore. I think it's some kind of a mannequin standing in there.
Well, that's true. And, you know, my second thing, you got old Mark Cuban out there. And he's loud and boisterous. And the opposite side of him, you got Elon Musk. And now, all of a sudden, we got Will Ferrell out there targeting us garbage men the way that he likes to do. So I'm gonna make a worldwide suggestion, and you being the media, I need you to put this in the news, and let's make this thing happen.
What's that?
We got Mark Cuban and Will Ferrell versus Elon Musk and this old Southern 40 mid fat man in a celebrity WWE, WWF, MMA / fighting match. And let's settle it like they did in the 1960s with an actual duel.
You know what? I'm pretty sure that since I've watched how Democrats handle guns, I'm pretty sure we're on top with that.
Well, I felt safe whenever I thought about Democrats with guns. And then all of a sudden I saw Walls carrying a gun. And I thought, man, you hear about civil war, and if that's what I got to compete against, I like my chances.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right, man. Good to hear from you. You have a great day.
Thank you.
All right. Oh, yeah. Revon calling in. I think he used to call in by a different name. So that's why I was confused.
Revon, man.
Hey, we got several text messages. And by the way, my thing with the guy on Al Jazeera stuff is blowing up right now on Twitter.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I answered back. He said, you're not a journalist. And I said, nah, just a soldier who saw Al Jazeera in Baghdad collaborating with insurgents against my fellow troops. Your employer is not a reliable news source. Therefore, I question your journalistic bona fides. And I'm getting a lot of hits on that. Just saying. Navy Phil from Athens says, Al Jazeera, journalist? No, propagandist. House is investigating China and Iran laundering money to support the Democrats, according to Breitbart. And of course, the FCC is smacking down NBC for allowing the Saturday Night Live skit to go through. JT Lacey Springs says the Saturday Night Live skit was just a preempt if Kamala's elected. Ha-has and honey. Okay. Graham from Meridianville says Monday Night Football is ESPN, ABC, not NBC. Okay, was it?
He was talking about Sunday Night Football is NBC.
That was Sunday Night Football. Mm-hmm. Okay, did he get Sunday Night Football then,
yeah,
I guess?
Yeah,
okay.
That's what it was.
Did I say Monday? I said Monday earlier, didn't I?
I thought he said Sunday, but maybe you missed Monday.
Well, either way, thanks, Graham. Marie from Madison says, speaking of violating the law, what about the pastor of the New Era Baptist Church? Yes. Holy cow. The New Era Baptist Church in Birmingham, who had the marquee warning black people against voting for Trump, said you may have already covered it. I have not. I wouldn't even call it that. That's not democracy is messy. I would just call that you can't cure stupid. All right. There's not a vaccine for stupid. It's just stupid. But yeah, if you haven't seen it, a pastor from New Era Baptist Church in Jefferson County, I believe, posted a sign out in front of his church that says black people should not vote for Trump or they'll be back to picking cotton. Most asinine thing I've ever seen done, and I hope that someone questions his faith sometime soon.
Then proceeded to put a slur on a church sign, which I think is inappropriate any circumstance.
It wasn't even like it was on a little yard sign. It was up on the marquee of the church. New Era Baptist Church, bam, don't vote for Trump if you're black because you'd be picking cotton. That's just unbelievable. Mike from Coxie says, hearing you guys talk about Joe Biden and Kamala not wanting his help, as I listened, it occurred to me you guys were describing a cacistocracy. Indeed, sir. Indeed we are. A cacistocracy, that government run by the least competent of its citizens. It's a perfect fit, Mike. This is like if they define cacistocracy in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, they ought to have a picture of Joe Biden right next to it. Colin from Decatur, it wouldn't surprise me, says, if it comes out that a lot of Mark Cuban's money is either tied up in a country like China, so he wouldn't want the increased tariffs, or tied up in hotels, which most major hotel chains thrive off illegal immigrants because they can pay them less. Well, there's a whole lot of speculation, but if you have something real, I'd like to see it, Colin. Thank you very much. All right, TL says we just lost our signal up there in Huntsville, so you might want to check with the producers up there. At the same time, JP, take me to a break. We'll take a break right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We are taking the break, coming back in the go-home time. Tomorrow is the voting day. Do you have your plan? Do you know where you're voting? Know it. Do it. We'll talk. Phil Williams, be right back.